Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
It's good to be in God's house, huh? Glad this is Sunday night, not Sunday morning. Take your Bibles and turn to James, if you would. James chapter 1. It's all right to ask God why. It's all right to say to God, why is this happening in my life? Why is that happening in my life? It's all right to ask God why He wants you to do something. God allows us to do that. We're going to talk this evening on biblical reasons for giving. Biblical reasons for giving, and we're going to look at why. Now, I wanted to start off with James chapter 1 to let you know it's okay to say to God, God, why do you do things the way you do things? Why do you command us to give? Why is it that you want to support your ministry through giving when you have it all? Why do you want us to give? So we're going to look this evening at four biblical reasons why we ought to give, but let's justify asking God. The Bible tells us this in James chapter 1. It says, James, a servant of God, verse 1, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, God says, listen, you're going to be going through some trials, and when you go through trials, you need to understand that you need to count it joy. God is working in your life. Now, that's the background of this next verse. But I want you to see this. God says, when you're going through a difficult time, it's all right to question me and ask why. Look in verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, that is, if you don't understand why God is putting you through what He's putting you through, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If there's something God's putting you through, it's okay to go to God and say, God, why are you doing this? Now, it's not going to God and saying, God, I don't deserve this, and I don't believe you're doing this, and why? That's an attitude of questioning His authority to do. But to go to Him and say, Lord, I want to learn from this. I want to know why this is happening. It's okay. God says, if any man lack wisdom, if you don't understand, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Now, when He's talking about that He gives wisdom, He gives understanding to all men who really want to have an understanding. There are some people who say they want to know, but they really don't want to know. You know, it's like the kid who says, when you say, no, you can't have the car tonight. And he says, why? He doesn't really want to know. He just wants to have the car tonight. And so you start giving him a reason, and he just keeps going on. And why? Because he really doesn't want to know. And you know that he's just questioning authority. Because if he said, can I have the car tonight, and you said yes, he wouldn't say, why? He would just say, oh, great, got the cars, and he'd be out of there. He's not really questioning the action. He's just questioning the decision. So, but God says here, look. If you're going through a trial, it's all right to ask why. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth wisdom to all men liberally, and he upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Father, as we're looking at this subject of Bible giving, Father, I pray that you'll help us to see the why. Help us to see why it is that we should give. And Father, help us to take these passages of Scripture that we look at tonight and help us to examine them and then believe them and obey them. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why is it that God wants us to give? Why should we give? Why should I give to the work of God? Well, I said a little while ago that God could, if He wanted to, God could just open the windows of heaven. In fact, he promises in Malachi to the Israelites, if they gave, he would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Why doesn't he just do that in the first place? Why doesn't he just give to himself? I mean, if this is giving to the work of God, I can remember as a kid thinking, how does God get the money? If we're giving our money to God, how does God get the money? I'm reminded of a story that I heard years ago of a Baptist preacher and a Catholic priest and a Jewish rabbi who were standing outside of a restaurant waiting to get in. And it was lunchtime and time was flying by and they only had a little bit of time. And a waitress finally came out and said to all three of them, listen, I do not have separate booth for each of you. Would you three men of the cloth, I don't know why they call preachers men of the cloth, would you three men of the cloth, I mean, it's made out of the same material your stuff's made out of. Would you three men of the cloth like to sit together at a table? Would you mind sitting together at a table? You'd get served a lot quicker. And they looked at each other and said, sure, we'll do it. So they went and they put them at a table together. And they're all sitting there and they're a little awkward with one another. But then they start talking about their different faiths. And they start talking about the things they do differently and the things that one does in the synagogue and one does at the cathedral and the one does in the church. And they're talking. And the Catholic priest said, I got a question. What do you guys do about giving? The rabbi said, what do you mean? He said, well, listen, in our church, our church is a small parish. And he said, we have to decide how much of the offering that comes in goes to the preacher and how much goes to the general needs of the church. They said, well, what do you do? And the rabbi said, well, that's simple. He said, what we do is we go to the basement of our church. We have a large basement in our church. And he said, after they all take the offering, he said, I go down to the church. The synagogue, bottom of the synagogue, and he said, I take the offering, and I say, okay, God, this is your offering. I'm going to throw it up in the air. Whatever lands on the left side will be mine. Whatever's on the right side will go to the synagogue. And the Baptist preacher just starts laughing out loud. And he looks at the Catholic priest and said, what do you do? And the Catholic priest said, we do something very similar. He said, except we draw a big circle in the middle of our parking lot. We got a great big circle out in the middle of our parking lot because we don't have a basement. And he said, I go and I stand in the middle of the circle and I throw the money up. And whatever lands on the circle and the inside of the circle goes to the church, whatever lands outside, I pick up and that's what we live on. He said, the Baptist preacher just started laughing again, laughing right out. And they said, what is wrong with you? He said, man, obviously you guys don't have any faith whatsoever. They said, what are you talking about? We don't have any faith. He said, you don't have any faith. We are people of faith. And he said, well, what do you do? He said, we don't have a basement. And he said, we don't have a very big parking lot. We don't need any lines on the ground. He said, we believe in God. They said, yeah. He said, yeah, we believe God. He said, so what we do is we take the offering. They give it to me. I throw it up in the air and I say, God, whatever you want, keep. Anyway, that has nothing to do with this message. Any giving, which brings to light a bunch more questions that we want to get into tonight. If any of you lack wisdom, if you don't understand why God would have you give, then look in the Bible and see what the Bible says. It's a good idea. Listen, here's the truth of the matter. I said this earlier. If we give to something, anything, the Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I can remember when I was a very young man and we moved in our first house. We were about 6 months married. And we had a wall that had a fireplace on it, and I always thought it'd be so neat to have paneling on that fireplace, paneling around the fireplace on that wall, and then put a mantle on the fireplace. And I remember saving up the money saving up the money and putting just saving so I could get me a 2x, I think it was a 2x6 or a 2x8, and I carved out that 2x8 to make a mantle, and then I got paneling. I saved the money and I put the paneling on the wall, and I had this little fireplace, and I had saved the money. I really worked hard to get that money, got the money, put it all together. Then I spent the hours putting it together. I put my treasure into that wall, and it looked so neat. And I thought, man, this was so cool. I lit a fire. It was the middle of June, and I just wanted to be there. I wanted to be. I remember that night. I said, honey, let's sleep in the living room just so I could be near my treasure, because I'd put my time and my effort into that, and I wanted to be where my treasure was. The fact of the matter is, God's word is true. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God knows that. God knows your heart is tied to your treasure, so he wants you to give to his church so your heart will be in his church. And that's God's plan. That's God's will. That's God's working. That's one reason. But let's look at some other reasons. Number one, we give because giving is a command. We saw this morning in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 that God says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. God told the Israelites, he said, this is what I want you to do. Now, obviously, we're going to look at some other answers to this question. Why should we give? Biblical reasons for giving. But I want you to understand the first reason, above any other reason, the reason we do anything we do should be because the Bible says to do it. If God says to do something, then we should do it. Whether we understand it or not, we should do it. Not only do we have the Old Testament command, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, we have the New Testament command in Luke 6:38 that says, give and it shall be given unto you. There's no suggestion there. Jesus just flat out says, give. God wants us to be givers. God wants us to give. I don't understand the command. It's all right to not understand something. Years ago, I was talking to Matthew. We were driving down the road. It was during a time in his life. He was somewhere between 12 and 16 years old, and he wanted to be cool like everybody else was cool. And in fact, one time I remember saying to him as an older teenager, I said, oh man, you're acting like a nerd. And he said, wait a minute, Dad. Wait a minute. He said, you can call me anything else, but I am not a nerd. I am cool. So he knew that. And so he wanted, just like anybody else, to be cool. He wanted to be didn't want to look odd. And everybody started wearing these pants in a sort of a weird way. I mean, what they would do, some of you will remember this fad. They would take any pair of pants, they'd ruffle them up at the bottom and tie them up. And you could actually go down and buy them. They sort of looked like balloon pants, and they would be around the ankle. But the problem was, both girls and guys were wearing this. And I am totally against boys looking effeminate. Can you say amen to that? I think it's a real problem. The Bible says that a man ought not wear that which pertaineth to a woman, nor should a woman wear that which pertaineth to a man. It's an abomination. And I looked at these pants and I said, they look feminine. And I think there's such thing as feminine looking pants. And I think there's such thing as masculine looking pants. And you can decide what is what. But in my house, I wasn't having my boy walk around looking like he's wearing girls' pants. I just wasn't going to have it. And so he said to me, I said to him, son, I don't want you wearing your pants that way. And he wanted me to buy him a pair of pants like that. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And I don't want you wearing them that way. He said, well, why, Dad? Everybody's doing it. You ever hear that? Everybody's doing this. And I said, well, you're not going to do it because I don't like it. And he said, well, why? So I said to him, here's why. I said, son, we back in the 1960s, and I went through this entire explanation. I said, back in the 1960s, there was a trend in our culture that started the unisex culture, which has led to the feminization of men and the masculinization of women. And that primarily had to do, it started coming our way through the music, through our cultural music. It started coming our way through the hair, and also through the way men dress and the way women dress. So that now we have unisex clothing that both men and women could wear. And I don't think it's good. I think it's bad for you. I think it's bad for our culture. I think it's bad for the church. And I think that nobody should do that. And I said, does that make sense to you? And I'm driving down the road. I remember we were driving down Rainbow Boulevard heading towards Blue Diamond Road. And it was just him and I. And the road was just a two-lane road. And we were driving down the road. I said, does that make sense to you? He said, no. I said, doesn't make sense. He said, no. I said, well, let me ask you a question then. When I'm not around, are you going to sneak and roll up your pants and make them look that way? And are you going to do that? He said, no. I said, you're not? I said, why not? He said, well, because I don't understand what you said, but I know this. You're the dad and I'm the son. And I know this. I'm supposed to obey you. So I'm just not going to do it, even though I don't understand it, because I'm supposed to obey you. And that will bring the blessing of God on my life. And I said, woohoo! My son at least knows something. He's figured something out. That was, man, he couldn't have said anything any better than me. You see, sometimes we obey because the Bible just says to do it. I may not understand it. I obey my authority because the authority says to do it. I may not understand it. I'm just supposed to obey the word of God. Can you say amen to that? God says to obey my word. God's word tells me that I'm supposed to give. God tells me I'm supposed to bring my tithes into the storehouse. And if God tells me that I'm supposed to do that, then that should be good enough. Number one, I give because the Bible says to. Number two, I give because giving is God-like. Giving is God-like. The fact is that if we want to be like our Father in heaven, we need to be givers. God is a gracious giver. Everything about God is giving. The Bible tells us this in John 3:16, most popular Bible verse in the world. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son. He gave. The Bible tells us that he loved us, and the way he proved that he loved us was he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I get to go to heaven, though I am a sinner and I deserve to go to hell. I get to go to heaven because God loved me so much that he was willing to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die and pay the penalty of my sin in my place. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he was God. He was seen by hundreds of people and went back to heaven. Now the Bible says that if I simply come to him and say, Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that you are God. I know that you died to pay the penalty of my sin. And I'm asking you to be my Lord and my Savior and my God. I can know for sure I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for me. That's an amazing thing. And we need to understand that. We need to understand the sacrifice. We need to understand that God gave us his son. That is giving. That's giving everything. That's giving the ultimate gift. Jesus Christ gave himself. In fact, the Bible tells us that God does more than that. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, the Bible says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He is going to give us not just his son, that's the ultimate sacrifice, but since he was willing to give us his son, he will give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He gives us everything. Everything we have comes from him. Giving is godlike. We give because the Bible commands us to give, number one. We give, number two, because giving is godlike. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. The Bible says this, but I say unto you, love your enemies. That's not natural. Bless them that curse you. That is, speak well of those who speak evil of you. That's not natural. Do good to them that hate you. That's not natural. Treating people good that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And when God says pray for those who despitefully use you, he doesn't want you to pray, God, kill them. Kill them. God, I'm praying for them like you said. do something miserable to them. Give them flat tires. May the fleas of a thousand camels infest your armpits. That's not what he's talking about. Pray for them which despitefully use you. That is, pray that God will bless them. Pray that God will work in them. Pray for those that persecute you. Why? Why does he say, keep giving even when people are mean to you? Why? Listen, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God is gracious to everyone. Wow. Let's see here. What's... Okay, there. I did it again. We all right? Good. If not, I'll just speak into this. He maketh. He's gracious to everyone. He's a giving God, and so we ought to give because giving is God-like, and we are His children. And when we give, then we reflect Him. We show the world who He is like, what He is like. Number three, giving is a greater blessing than receiving. God's word is very, very clear about this. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul reminds us about that in Acts chapter 20. He says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know the funny thing is about that quote? That's the Apostle Paul quoting the Lord Jesus in the book of Acts. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll never read Jesus saying those words. Jesus never says that, those words. He's never quoted by Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John as ever saying those words. God thought it was so important that that message, that even after Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John were written and complete, he thought, it's not as though he had a second thought about anything, but I want you to understand, God said, oh, wait, there's something that isn't mentioned in the story of my life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm going to have Paul quote me in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 20, because I want people to know that I said it's more blessed to give than to receive. God said that, and it's true. It's true. Wouldn't you rather be in a position where you were having to decide how much you should give? Wouldn't you rather be in that position than be the guy that's thinking, man, I need to receive something? Isn't it more blessed to be able to give than it is to receive? I'd much rather be able to decide, hey, well, how much am I going to give this individual or give this institution than to be saying, man, I sure hope that somebody has compassion on me. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive, and isn't it? I love it at Christmas time. We just had our Christmas up in Utah together with our grandchildren. I love it. I love it. I love it when the grandkids are excited about what they got the other grandkids, or the grandkids are excited about what they got their aunt or their uncle, because they're learning that it is truly more blessed to give. It's so wonderful to give a gift and think, look what I had the opportunity of being part of. 2 weeks ago when you gave to the Uganda Children's Home, there are kids in Uganda right now that are thanking God for you. You got to be part of a $10,000 gift that went around the world to meet the needs of orphans who don't have a mom and dad to take care of them. You got to be part of that. It is truly more blessed to give than to receive. And so we give because it's commanded. We give because it is godlike. We give because it's more blessed to give than to receive. And then lastly, we give because giving brings God's financial blessings on our lives. That's the facts. It just happens. People who give are blessed of God. And I want you to understand this. I believe this is a principle that is true for lost people as well as saved people. I believe this is true for people out in the world. I have read books about entrepreneurs, and I've read books by people who are business executives that are far away from the teaching of the Word of God. And all of them that are successful, people who are successful financially in this world, that learn the principle that giving brings prosperity. Giving brings prosperity. We saw that in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. We looked at that in depth this morning. We read this evening already Luke 6:38, where the Bible says, "Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." We see that, but I want you to understand there are verse after verse in the book of Philippians. Paul writes to the Philippian church. That church had supported him as they went out onto the mission field, as they went out to spread the gospel. As the Apostle Paul went out all over the world preaching the gospel, the church at Philippi was the first church to send them money to help them on their mission, on their missions trip. And so he writes this letter to a local church, and in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, he gives this promise: "Because you were faithful to give to me," he says, "my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." This church was faithful to give to the work of God, and because they were faithful to give to the work of God, God was going to take care of their needs according to the promise of God through the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 8, 6, 8, and all the way to verse 10, the Bible says this: "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly." He's talking about giving. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. He wants you to laugh while you give. And some of you are. You say, "Great, this is going to be great. Go ahead, God, take it all, because I'm going to die." And laugh. The idea is loving to give. And God is able, the Bible says, to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. What an amazing promise that is. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Do you know what the word that's emphasized there? Anyone recognize there's a three-letter word that's there? Can you tell me what that word is? Say that out loud. All. God says, "I'm going to give you all sufficiency in all things, that you may abound to every good work." The idea is God's going to take care of every need you have because you give. He says if you sow sparingly, and that's true in nature, if you sow one little piece of corn, you only get one stalk. If you sow two pieces of corn, you get two stalks. If you sow three pieces of corn, you get three stalks. That's the idea. You sow four pieces of corn, you get four stalks. Now listen, one little kernel of corn grows up and you get three ears or four ears off of that one kernel. So God multiplies even the one kernel, but two gets more and three gets more and four gets more and five gets more. So the more you give, the more you get. That is the principle of Scripture. God promises that. In Psalm chapter 41, God tells us to be faithful givers. He says, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor," that is like those kids in Uganda, like helping the people down the street, like helping the people in the neighborhood, like doing everything we can. There are people who stand on street corners that hold signs that say, "We'll work for food." And if you stop and you ask them to do some work, they say, "Oh, we don't do that." And so they lie to you. And I'm not talking about that. And there are Christians that just get sucked in by all sorts of wrong things. But here, God's very clear that we need to consider the poor. We need to see people's needs and have compassion on them. Now, that's not being foolish, but it's being compassionate, and it's being understanding and getting involved in a way, in a method that will really help somebody who's in need. I do not want to feed somebody's gambling habit. Can you say amen to that? I do not want to feed somebody's drinking habit or somebody's drugs habit. I don't want to feed that. I don't want to help a poor person continue to be poor, and I don't want the beggar to continue to beg. What I want to do is support institutions and support places and organizations that will help people go, come from where they are to where God wants them to be. Can you say amen to that? And so the Bible tells us this, don't sow sparingly. It says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in times of trouble. There's a promise. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord strengtheneth him upon the bed of languishing. You're sick, and God lifts you up and strengthens you. Thou wilt make all his bed, in his sickness. God's going to take care of you and provide for you and lift you up. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24, the Bible says, there is that scattereth, that is, a guy that takes the seed out and throws it out, and yet he increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. God says, listen, there are people that hold back and hoard and hoard and hoard, and it's all for them, and they have nothing. And that there are those who just give and give and give, and God just seems to bless them, and they have more and more and more. Those are just a few of the verses. Let me give you a few more. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord, and that which he hath will that which he hath given will be paid to him again. God says, you take care of people's needs. You give so that other people can be taken care of. God will get it back to you. You're lending your money to the Lord. Proverbs 22:9 says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth his bread to the poor. God will bless if I have a bountiful eye that says, I want to help, I want to give, I want to minister. In Ecclesiastes, we read the passage of Scripture that talks about casting your bread upon the waters. So you're going to find it after many days. It ends by saying this, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall alike be good. He said, you just keep giving. In the morning, in the evening, you just keep giving. You don't know what God is going to bless. You just keep giving, but God will bless you. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 is a promise. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That is obviously, over and over, God says, look, you give, and I'm going to bless you. God wants us to give. God wants us to have a heart of giving. We should give because God commanded us to. We should give because it's God-like to give. We should give because it is greater to is a greater blessing to give than it is to receive. And we should give because giving brings God's financial protection and God's financial provision. Those are reasons to give according to the Word of God. Let's be faithful to do what God wants us to do, and let's expect. By the way, God wants you to expect. God wants you to expect him to bless you when you give. You should be expecting a miracle from God. God, I'm going to keep doing what you want me to do. I'm going to keep being faithful. There are things that I have prayed for years. I know that God will let us see. But we need to pray according to the will of God and give according to the will of God. Then we'll see the blessing of God on our life. Let's be what God wants us to be. Father, help us to take your truth. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to be the givers you want us to be. Bless us, Father, as we do. Father, I pray for anyone here that may not be saved tonight. Father, I pray that they'll understand that you gave yourself so that we could have eternal life. And I pray that if there's someone here that's never received you as their Lord and Savior, that tonight they'll put their faith and trust in you. And Lord Jesus, I ask this in your name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.